you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 7. We've taken some detours from the book of Romans, but I'm going to come back to it this morning and consider these first six verses. So, we're celebrating freedom today, and every one of us here who knows Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have freedom. It's a freedom that no country can give you, or no government can give you, or can take away. It's a freedom in Christ. All right, so as we look at this passage this morning, I'm going to ask you to just hang with me here for a moment, because it's kind of interesting and puts this in a way that may be a little different to our way of thinking. So we're going to read this and then we'll think about it. But basically what we're talking about here this morning is, well, what is the relationship of the Christian to the law? Because we know in the Old Testament we've got the law. And the law is, you know, it's huge. And so, you know, I still get questions about people asking about the law. You know, well, what about the dietary laws? What about Sabbath? What about, you know, and, you know, there's parts of the law that's still there. They're, you know, Ten Commandments, believe it or not. They're still there. And still important. So we'll look at all that this morning. Let's read together, first of all, Romans chapter 7, verse 1. If you found your place, you're able. Would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful this morning for the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ that saves us, that keeps us in your hand. And Lord, we thank you that we're not under the law anymore in Christ. We've been set free. And so, Father, thank you for that. I pray this morning that you would imprint this truth upon the hearts and minds. God, I pray you would give us the understanding we need. And Lord, I pray you would open our hearts to the truth you're showing us today. And Father, I pray for every person here. Lord, if there's even one who doesn't yet have a relationship with you, Father, I pray you would draw them to yourself. And I pray, Father God, I pray you would save them. I pray you would set them free, Lord, from their sin and from the law and from all the things that they have struggled with through the years. Lord, I pray you would bring salvation. And Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are, for all you do. Lord, we love you and we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' precious, holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Peter spoke of the law in his sermon at Pentecost. And he said it's a yoke. He said it's a yoke that we could not bear, our fathers could not bear. And we're going to see that this morning. Back in chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." All right? So, sin shall not have dominion over you. But what we see here in verse 1 of chapter 7 is that we are bound, before we come to Christ, So let me just say the first part of this message, if you're a lost person, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then this message, this part of it, this applies specifically to you today. This is where you are. The Bible says that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. But you see, that's in our flesh. That's before we come to Jesus. Once we get saved, that changes. We see that in just a second. So if today you are not saved, then you are bound by the law. You're bound to the law. And may I just say to you, it's not a very good arrangement. I mean, in terms of what it's going to do. It's not going to help you. The only thing is it's going to do is it's going to show you your sin. And people don't like the law. They want to do away with the law of God. We had a man this week, Brother Gary, monument, the Ten Commandments monument, had just been placed on the Capitol grounds a day or so earlier. A man from Van Buren drove down there, rammed his car into the monument, pretty well destroyed the monument, but you can't destroy the law of God. You can try, you can try, you can try. You can try to break that yoke, you can try to break that bondage, but you can't do it. You're under the law. If you don't have Christ, you're under the law. What's that mean? It means that you are subject to all the laws that God has placed over you. And every time you break one, the Spirit of God is going to be trying to show you through that that you're a lawbreaker. You're in the wrong. You've offended God. You've sinned against God. You've broken God's laws. And so it's a serious situation. Paul says, I'm writing to those of you who know the law. He says, know ye not, brethren? Do you not know? Are you ignorant of this? Well, so there is a power, there is a lordship, there is a dominion that the law holds over lost people. And that's why one day, when lost people who die without Christ, when they stand before God, they will be judged. And they will be judged by what they have done. You say, well, what about people who haven't heard about Jesus? They will be judged according to what they have done. And there is a law, both within the Word of God and within their own hearts, there is a law that shows them what is right, what's wrong. Well, but here's the good part. The law has no dominion, no power over a man who has died to sin. Now, Paul illustrates that in an unusual way. So look with me at this. Verse 2. He says, the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband. All right, so he's using an analogy here. He uses marriage. He says, okay, so verse 1, apart from Jesus, we are bound to the law. Okay? He says, let me explain that. Verse 2. He says, suppose there's a woman and she's married to a man. She is bound to that man. And as long as they are both alive. Now, what this verse and this passage does not speak to, it does not speak to divorce and remarriage. That is not in this passage. Okay? People have tried to take this and apply that and use that. You can't do that. That is not what Paul's talking about here. But he says, if a woman is bound to a man, and she is, you know, the language is very, very clear. You know, when two people get married, they become one flesh. My old preacher's wife used to say, just, you know, two become one. It's just a matter of which one they're going to become. But the death of either of those people breaks the marriage. The marriage is done. It's over. I mean, everybody realizes that. It's over. Now, if a person is married to one man, but then goes and marries another man, while that first man is still alive, the Bible says she's an adulteress. But if the first husband has died, then there's no stigma attached. Because that marriage relationship has been dissolved. Everybody with me so far? Some of you looking at me, well, we think so, Brother Tim, but we're not entirely sure. I'm waiting to see where you go next. Well, Paul says that our being bound to the law is like marriage. When you're lost without Christ, you are bound to the law. And you can't get out of it. You can't do anything about it. You're powerless. Until one of you in that marriage dies. And in this case, it's not the law that dies, because the law is there. And the law remains. But here's what Paul gives us. Notice in verse 3. Or at the end of verse 2. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, we talked about that, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also, he's talking to believers, he's talking to those who've been saved, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Here's what happens. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we had some young people pray to receive Jesus this week. I didn't try to explain everything that happens when you get saved. That would be crazy, because there's more to it than we can learn if we live to be 100. You're still going to be learning about what it means. You're still going to be finding out more about what God has done. And it's an awesome truth. Well, so... But here's something that happens in us when we get saved, is now suddenly we're released from this marriage to the law. We're no longer bound to the law. Now, let's just think about this marriage thing for a moment. Let's suppose that we have a bride walking down the aisle to be married. And she walks down that aisle and she looks, and there's her husband-to-be. And she looks up into his eyes and she thinks, oh, he's so perfect. But in this case, he really is. The law of the Lord is perfect, the Bible says. And so this young lady, she marries this perfect man, Mr. Perfect. I mean, some of you think, you know, your husbands think that you married Mr. Perfect, but well, don't look at them, but, you know. Well, here's the thing. They're not. But here, this lady in our story, she is marrying Mr. Perfect. But the problem is that she is not Mrs. Perfect. She is flawed. She's messed up. And the trouble is that every day she gets up and she discovers that her husband, Mr. Perfect, has a whole list of rules and regulations of things that she's supposed to do and not do that day. And if she breaks even one of those, she's guilty of breaking the whole list. Thought your marriage was rough. She's living with Mr. Perfect. She's, in our story, in our analogy here, that's a lost person living with the law. And the law is an impossible taskmaster. But what the law has been given to do is to point out our failures and our sin. And so, boy, she lives with that every day. She fails to get this done. She doesn't do this right. She's, you know, and fellas, I'm not preaching to you about, you know, correcting your wives or making a list for your wives here. That's not what I'm talking about. You can wipe that out of your memory banks. That's not it. Well, so, you know, that's an interesting problem to have. You know, what a marriage. But here's one of the results of what happens here. Is that, you know, Mr. Perfect is there to show her every time she messes up. But what Mr. Perfect can't do is Mr. Perfect can't fix her. Mr. Perfect can't change her. She is still flawed. She's still messed up. It's still, you know, there's a problem all the way through. Well, The only thing Mr. Perfect can do is he can show her how wrong she is. What a great thing to wake up to every day. But you know what? That's what lost people wake up to every single day. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what you're living with. Because the law of God is there. It is there. Whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you try to run your car through it or not, it doesn't matter. The law of God is unchanging. You know, Jesus had a very high view of the law. In Matthew chapter 7, or chapter 5 and verse 17, Matthew 5, 17, Jesus said this, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." When Jesus came, He fulfilled the law. And that's why when we receive Christ, when we are born again, we're saved, we're set free from the law. And we're no longer under the law. We don't live under the law. We live under grace today. Somebody say amen. Because the law is an impossible taskmaster. And no one has ever been saved by keeping the law. Ever. It has never happened and it never will. I remember years ago, presidential election, Pat Robertson, the CBN guy, was running for president. And people were naturally skeptical, but one of the reporters was trying to get a soundbite, was trying to get something they could use. And so he asked him, he said, "Well, Mr. Robertson, what about the Jews? They don't believe you're in your Jesus. What about them? Are they going to go to hell when they die?" And the reporter wasn't really wanting to know, you know, the answer so much as he was just wanting to get Pat Robertson in trouble. And for once, Pat Robertson had a pretty wise answer. I mean, it's shrewd. It was not totally honest in a way, but it was shrewd. He said, "Well, the Jews have their law. And so if they can keep it, they'll go to heaven." That's true, isn't it? If they'll keep it, they'll go to heaven. What's the problem with that? No one has ever kept it, ever. In the history of mankind, no one has ever been able to keep the law. So, in effect, he was saying, no, they're not going to heaven. But he didn't, you know, the reporter, he didn't know. He was clueless. He was lost. So he didn't know. Well, and I'm not commending, you know, Pat's answer or Pat or whatever, but I'm just saying, nobody's ever been saved by keeping the law, and no one ever will be. It's an impossible thing that we would even think that. But the Scripture says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." So Jesus came to set us free from the law, came to set us free from sin. Well, so when Jesus died on the cross, He fulfilled every requirement. He took care of every part of the law. And so we're not under the law. Now, there are certain aspects of the law. You know, the Ten Commandments hasn't changed a bit. You know, lying is still wrong. Thievery and stealing is still wrong. Taking God's name in vain is still wrong. Putting anything before God, that's always going to be wrong. Adultery, always wrong. So, you know, there's aspects of the law that do not change, but then there's parts of it that we're not sacrificing a lamb this morning. We're not doing, you know, the sacrifices of the Old Testament system today. Because we don't have to. We're not under that law. Jesus has set us free. Jesus fulfilled every requirement of that. And we're not under that anymore. We're not under the dietary requirements. I mean, if you want to follow that as a health thing, and some people do, that's great. But if you want to have your BLT, thank God for it. Receive it with gladness and joy. Smother it with Miracle Whip, and here we go. Woo! Okay, I lost some of you on the Miracle Whip, I know. All right. So, Jesus died on the cross, fulfilled every requirement, paid every price. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin, to pay your debt, to pay your death. And He did it all, and now you've been set free. Not just from sin, but you've been set free from the law. And so, notice in verse 5. Well, back up to verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to Him that is raised from the dead. You are married now to Jesus Christ. When you get saved, you go from being married, bound to the law, to being married, bound to Jesus. Except it's not a bad thing at all. What are we just saying? Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. There's nothing bad when you come to Christ. I've never had to give anybody their money back for accepting Jesus. That didn't sound right, did it? Okay, it don't cost anything, but, if it did, nobody's ever come back and just said, no, man, I really regret asking Jesus to be my Savior and forgive me of all my sin. And, I've had people walk away, but most likely they didn't truly have a genuine experience where they were born again. Well, so now we're united to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 talks about that. But he says, even to Him who is raised from the dead. So we're bound now to the resurrected Christ. Okay? Whereas before we had no power. The law couldn't do anything for us. The law couldn't help us. The law couldn't fix us. The law couldn't change us. Now we're bound to one who has every bit of power. And He's able to change us. He's able to fix us. He's able to help us. So, we have become dead to the law, and it's not our doing, it's God's doing. But He says here at the end of verse 4, it says, so that we should bring forth fruit unto God. In the past, verse 5, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, the passion of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members. Remember that girl we talked about, married to Mr. Perfect? Think about the effect that this would have over time. Every day. Every single day. Every day. She's being reminded. You are so flawed. You are so messed up. You are so imperfect. And you hear that, and you hear that, and you hear that, and boy, it just starts to work on you. And sometimes people, when they realize how badly off into sin they are, and how badly they've broken God's laws, and they can't change, and they can't fix it, and they can't do anything about it, sometimes they just decide, well, then I'm just going to go with it. That's who I am. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to be. But you see, there's an answer. There's an answer. And it's in Christ. And it's an answer for 8 and 9 and 10 year olds who open their heart to Jesus. But it's an answer to adults. It's an answer to all of us. We can be saved. And the word that I like to use as a synonym there for saved is rescued. God will rescue us out of the place we're in. But you see, if that's ever going to happen, you're going to have to realize the place you're in. You're going to have to bump heads with the law long enough that you begin to understand you're a sinner, you're a transgressor, you've broken God's laws. You need forgiveness. You need to be saved. You need to be changed. And there's no amount of being baptized that can save you. There's no amount of being a church member that can save you. There's no amount of good deeds you can do. Being a good neighbor, being a good friend, doing a lot of good stuff, that won't save you. You can't do it by keeping the law. There's no salvation there. The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way into heaven. Talk to our kids one of the mornings about what Jesus said about being born again. And it kind of freaked some of them out. They were just like, oh. Kind of like Nicodemus was when Jesus told him. But you see, there's only one way into this world. You were born. Somewhere, sometime, someplace. Bo didn't get here by accident. He was born into this world. There's only one way into this world, into this life, into this family. And there's only one way into God's family. And it's a spiritual birth. It's a second birth. One of the kids asked me, well, what is this? What does it mean being born again? Well, it's a spiritual birth. It's not on the outside. It's on the inside. But God changes you. God gives you a brand new start in life. Gives you a brand new nature. And He does a sweet thing in you. Well, amen. When we were in the flesh, when we were in our sin, boy, we were just bringing forth fruit unto death. Verse 5 says, but verse 6, but now, look at this. Now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Because what happens to that relationship when Mr. Perfect and his wife, they're going through the motions, they're, you know, doing all this. What happens in her heart? Over time, she begins to go through the motions of doing what she does. Heart's not in it. And Paul says, we've been saved. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus for this, so that we can serve in newness of spirit. Not in the oldness of the letter. See, there's a letter of the law. I mean, you can just be so rigid and legalistic and be doing all these things. That's what the Pharisees were. They were legalists. They had a bunch of rules and regulations for how to live, but their hearts were far from God. And you can be doing everything, just you don't use this language, you don't go here, you don't say that, you don't watch this, you don't do this. You've got all these rules and regulations of how you live your life, but I'm going to tell you that's not it. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're born again on the inside, and what's on the inside is going to come out. It doesn't start from the outside and it works its way in. No, that's never the way that change happens. Change begins when you receive Christ on the inside, in your heart, and it begins to work its way out in your actions, your attitudes, your words, your everything. It's going to be displayed. So we are delivered from the law, so that we can serve in a newness of spirit. And, you know, we've had an opportunity to serve this week, Vacation Bible School. We had, and I listed a bunch of our workers in the newsletter article, but I skipped some or missed some because we had so many people here. It was just amazing. It was awesome. But every person, I can promise you, I don't care if you're in the nursery or if you're, you know, in the games, or you're in snack time, or if you're doing drama or Bible stories or whatever you're doing, you can serve in the oldness of the letter, and you're doing everything just so, but there's no joy and there's no love, and it's empty and it's dry, and everybody in the room knows it if you don't. But when you're serving in the newness of the Spirit, man, it's just joy. It's joy. We got here, well, got up Friday morning and looked at the radar and I thought, oh my goodness. At Bible school this morning, Lord, it's not good. This year, you know, somebody asked the other day, does God understand radar? You know, he's talking about, yeah, well, absolutely He does. He knows it all. And He allowed that little weather system to come through and give us some much-needed rain, so can't complain about that. Praise the Lord for it. But I was driving to pick up kids in the church van, and man, that wind was whipping around and rain was crazy, and I thought, yeah, this is going to be fun today. But you know what? We got here, and the kids, well, what are we going to do? Tim, what are we going to do? We're going to be able to play outside? I said, hey, today was wet day. You're just going to get, you know, a little bit wetter than... No. I said, no, you're not going outside. But, you know, we adjusted. And it was fine. We had a lot of fun. We had to move some things around. Susie was teaching in the hallway, but you know, I mean, we did fine. We did great. We had a good day, and we had a. But that's because it's the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter. You can take anything you do for Jesus, and if you're serving in the oldness of the letter, it's going to be a drudge. It's going to be a chore. It's going to be a pain, and everybody around you is going to feel the same thing, maybe worse. But when you serve in the newness of the letter, people around you are going to be excited and joyous and happy because it's full of Jesus. So we're saved to be set free from the law. We've been set free from sin. We've been set free from the law. And now we can serve. All right, still with me? All right, somewhat so. You know, hopefully we navigated that. But it is a little bit different way of thinking about it. Bringing marriage to that was kind of fun. Because Paul doesn't do that a whole lot, but he used it there. Well, so what are you bound to this morning? If you're living your life as a lost person, maybe a religious person, maybe a good person, maybe a lot of things. But if you don't have a genuine relationship with Christ, you're bound to the law. And the law is unforgiving. The law is tough because every single day you're going to get up and you've got that list. And you break one and it's like you've broken the whole. But when you come to Christ and you place yourself in His hands, you are free from the law. You don't have to live under that. Now you live in the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that you can go out and do whatever you want to do. It does not mean that at all. It means that the Holy Spirit is now leading you and guiding you and directing you. And if anything, you're more sensitive and you're more careful to do the things that please God. And the furthest thing in your heart would be to do anything that would hurt God, that would quench the working of the Spirit of God in your heart and your life, or grieve the Spirit of God. No, that's not the mark of a believer, of a child of God. So let's bow our heads. And I want to ask you this morning, if you've never been saved, I believe that you know that. And there's an answer. The answer is Christ. And you may be looking for some other way into heaven, but there isn't any other way. There's one way. And so today, if you've never received Jesus Christ, it's as simple as opening your heart to Him and surrendering yourself to Him. Just say, "Oh God, I need You." Tell Him. Right now, just say, "Lord, I need You. I've tried to be good, but Lord, I'm not good. I'm not a good man, not a good woman. I'm not a good person." Just tell Him. "And Lord, I need You to forgive me. And I need You to come into my life and save me. Save me from my sin and change me." Just tell Him from your heart. Pour out your heart to Him. Ask Him to work. He is certainly able to do everything that's required right now. Father, I pray for people all across this room. If there's anyone who is struggling with that decision, or maybe has just opened up their heart to You in this moment, I pray You'd give them grace. And I pray You'd give them understanding that Your presence is real, that it's powerful, it's mighty. And Father, I pray that You would set men and women, young people, boys and girls free today. Now, if that's you, and you pray to receive that prayer, I want to invite you to let others know about that. The first way, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you prayed it for the first time, or you prayed it to really make sure of your salvation, you want to make sure, would you just look up at me? Just raise your head, look up at me so I'll know. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to know. Did you pray that? Amen. Sweet. Amen. Anyone else? I don't see you wave a hand or something. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the one who looked up, but God, for every single one maybe is working on this in their heart, they're thinking about it. I pray you'll give them grace, give them courage to begin a walk with you, to love you with their whole heart. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'll set men and women, young people, boys and girls free today. Father, I pray for Christians in this room. Lord, we've been set free, yet some of us still live in slavery. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to realize you've done all. You've done everything. And all we need to do is walk in your victory, walk in your power, walk in your strength. Surrender ourselves to you. So, Lord, would you give Christians today grace to simply say, Lord, I've missed the mark. I failed. I messed up. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me, Lord Jesus. Make me clean today. I'm just going to wait before the Lord for this moment. And if I could pray with you, I'd be glad to do that. If there's something you're struggling with, that salvation thing, and you want to get that settled, you come. Maybe there's something just in your heart, on your mind, you need to give to the Lord today, a burden you carry, a need you have. Would you come? There's no shame at the altar, none. The only shame is when we say no to the Holy Spirit. God is leading you this morning. You answer His call. You pray to receive Jesus this morning. You want to confess Him. Come. Let everybody know. It'd be awesome.